Have you ever noticed how the simplest phrases can be the hardest to say? I was wrong. I don't know. Tell me more. In her heartfelt exploration of human connection, Kelly Corrigan reveals how these seemingly basic expressions hold tremendous power in our relationships. Drawing from her experiences as a mother, daughter, wife, and friend, including the profound grief of losing both her father and her close friend Liz, Corrigan shows us how the right words at the right moment can transform our connections with those we love. Through her blend of humor and heartbreak, she demonstrates that communication isn't about perfection, but about presence. Not about having all the answers, but about being willing to stay in the difficult conversations that matter most. Life oscillates between mature acceptance and childish frustration, a reality Corrigan confronts after her devastating losses. During one chaotic morning, while discussing her late father's frequent flyer miles with her widowed mother, her teenage daughters argue over clothing as her husband escapes to work, leaving her alone with the mess. After embarrassingly cutting herself out of a too-tight shirt in a fitting room, Corrigan recalls her husband's meditation teacher's wisdom. It's like this. These three simple words acknowledge life's inevitable fluctuations without judgment. Despite understanding life's fragility, she still gets irritated by small inconveniences and feels guilty when laughing after a funeral or feeling annoyed about flight delays while carrying her father's ashes. Our minds naturally cycle through emotions like seasons in an internal landscape. It's like this offers neither false optimism nor resignation, just acknowledgement of reality. The phrase becomes powerful during life's contradictions, when feeling both grateful and resentful, loving and angry, wise and foolish. During a visit to a San Francisco spa, Corrigan meets an esthetician named Tish who demonstrates the power of truly listening. After hearing Corrigan's concerns about wrinkles and expensive products, Tish offers the perfect solution, bangs, a practical, affordable fix rather than costly creams. This contrasts with Corrigan's habit of rushing to fix problems without preparation, whether tackling home projects without planning or jumping to solve her children's problems before fully listening. The turning point comes during a car ride with her college roommate, Tracy. When Corrigan's daughter calls crying about middle school drama, Tracy advises her to just say, "Tell me more," instead of immediately offering solutions. "Tell me more" becomes a powerful connection tool. It creates space for others to express themselves without judgment or interruption, allowing stories to unfold naturally. When we resist the urge to interject with solutions or similar experiences, we create a space where people feel truly seen and valued. During her father's final days, Corrigan witnessed his vulnerability as he shared life regrets. When she asked if there was more to confess, he simply sighed, "I think I'm good, lovey," and they squeezed hands. This moment, accepting death's uncertainty while facing it, shaped Corrigan's understanding of uncertainty. Her friend Mary Hope's adoption journey reinforces this theme. After multiple pregnancy losses, when first holding her adopted daughter, Mary Hope admitted, "I don't know who this kid is." 12 years later, she maintains this humble stance. "She knows exactly who she is. I'm just along for the ride." Our culture rewards certainty over thoughtful uncertainty. Corrigan's pediatrician friend Sarah has learned to say, "I don't know," to parents seeking immediate diagnoses, recognizing that honest uncertainty is often more ethical than false certainty. Saying, "I don't know," represents intellectual integrity, acknowledging that some questions lack satisfying answers. It creates space for mystery and the possibility we might be wrong. In a world demanding certainty, admitting uncertainty becomes a radical act of honesty that deepens connections. At 9, Corrigan told a lie about hating cheese that she maintained for a decade, picking cheese off food, ordering plain hamburgers, eating only cheesecake crust, all to avoid admitting her falsehood. Unlike her mother, who mastered saying no, Corrigan craves approval. During a mall outing, she allowed her daughters into an expensive hairstyling kiosk, agreeing to the $200 price tag. "Everyone loves you when you say yes," she reflects. But her mother understood that a cheap yes is like a cigarette buzz, fleeting and polluting. Mary Corrigan simply stopped doing things she didn't want to do: baking, night driving, attending social events with her husband. With phrases like, "I'll take a pass," she created freedom while maintaining her marriage. This lesson solidified when breast cancer derailed Corrigan's dream of having 4x40 children. Though devastated, she explored alternatives that her husband, Edward, gently refused. "I'm happy. My wife is back to full strength. My kids are good. I don't want a new battle." She recognized he was protecting their relationship by setting boundaries. "No makes room for yes," Corrigan concludes, and who doesn't want more room for that? By refusing what doesn't serve us, we create space for what truly matters. Corrigan's friend Ariel, a psychotherapist with Dalai Lama-level emotional intelligence, received simple advice when beginning clinical work. Being trustworthy is enough. Working with Jean, a refugee from Sierra Leone, Ariel found that simply listening to Jean's traumatic story fulfilled her most essential need. During Corrigan's troubled adolescence, her father would visit her bedroom, listen to her problems, and reassure her, "You're good enough, trust me." These words became her shield against inadequacy. Years later, when her mother described her adult self as nothing if not competent, Corrigan nearly wept. This assessment transformed her self-image. Me and my little life, good enough. Good enough isn't settling for mediocrity, but acknowledging our worth despite imperfections. It frees us from the exhausting pursuit of flawlessness in our optimization-obsessed culture, making it a radical act of self-compassion. When witnessing true virtuosity, a perfect athletic move or artistic performance, words often fail us. We resort to facial expressions and embraces because language engages thinking, diverting us from purely feeling. After her friend Liz died, Corrigan couldn't return phone calls. Conversations felt inadequate compared to her grief. People tried to tidy her messy emotions with phrases like, "She fought hard," but no words captured her despair. Corrigan now volunteers at the NICU, holding babies in distress. Trained by Bette, she holds them attentively, studying their features and breathing in rhythm with them. "The skin hungers for touch, from cradle to grave," Corrigan notes. "Close silence, that's all they need," Bette taught her. This experience improved her parenting, especially with her daughter Georgia, who once asked if they needed to talk so much after school. Corrigan is learning the value of close silence, moving through life awed by how people support each other without words. In moments of overwhelming joy, grief, or tenderness, words become inadequate. Silent presence, being fully with another without filling the space with talk, often communicates more deeply than speech. In a world valuing clever comebacks, attentive silence might be our greatest gift.